This is Jason Marsden, the voice of Duke from G.I. Joe Renegades. You're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
It's nice to see father and son together again playing a spirited game of hoops, hmm? You're not happy, are you?
For years now, I have watched you give advice to everybody, but never me. Why is that? Why?
You don't ask.
Eric was supposed to be in college, but at the first little bump in the road, he comes running back home and Alan is okay with it.
But you're not?
It was hard enough saying goodbye to Eric. I don't want to do it again.
Well, perhaps Alan just misses...
Oh, that's not it. This is it. He's Eric's father. He's Eric's best friend. The best friend can't bring himself to say goodbye and kick Eric out of the nest. Thank you, George. Oh, well said.
I have problems too, you know.
Hello, listeners. It is I, TFG1 Mike, and I am coming to you before this episode of Podcaster Meets World because I got in touch with Gator the Bear over on Instagram because he did a guitar cover of the Boy Meets World theme song. And I asked him if I could use it, and he generously said yes. His links to his personal Instagram and his band's Instagram is in the show notes on the website. So check this out. This is awesome. And get ready as Steve Megatron and I tackle Boy Meets World Season 5, Part 1, right after this amazing guitar theme. Welcome to episode 9 of Podcaster Meets World, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, TFG1 Mike, and joining me from some unknown location is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Wow, it's not as echoey as it was before. You must really be up on that mic.
Yeah, I'm eating it, practically.
Oh, boy. So today we are going to be tackling on with... Boy Meets World, and this is Podcaster Meets World, not to be confused with Pod Meets World. Pod Meets World is the iHeartRadio show that Danielle Fishel, Ryder Strong, and Will Friedle have started because they are going back and rewatching basically what this show initially was supposed to be back in 2016 or 2015 when we got so incensed at the top 100 television countdown we did because Boy Meets World came in at number 50 out of 100. Originally, this show was going to take us 7 years, and you're like, yeah, no, let's find another way because we were going to do episodic like we do all the other times. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I can't keep up with that. I'm like, okay, fine. So let's do it in seasons. And then I looked at it a little. I'm like, okay, fine. Let's do it in part seasons. So we, you know, most of the seasons have 22, 24. It's weird. Is it season 6 or 7? One of the remaining two we have left to do has 23. And I'm just like, it's breaking my brain. It's not an even number. Stop it. No, no Jim Carrey. No number 23. No. So Pod Meets World, they are doing this episode by episode, and they're having other interviews and with cast members and production people and everything else. So I've been listening to this because I find it hilarious and awesome and funny. And you sent me, as of this recording, this you had sent me a link on Facebook about Anthony Tyler Quinn talking about why he left the show or why whatever. And it was, I think if I remember correctly, it was a Screen Rant news article. And not that I don't want to go out to a news article and look at it. I didn't even click on the news article. I went to Spotify. I grabbed the podcast episode. I was like, yeah, Steve, I heard it from the man's mouth. I don't need to read some news article that is probably going to misquote the guy. Like, go listen to the episode. So yeah, no, absolutely hilarious and fun, and I'm loving listening to that show. If anyone is a Boy Meets World, Girl Meets World fan, I don't know if they are going to do Girl Meets World at all. I'm not sure. I hope they do, but they still have. They just started season two, so they've got a number more to go, and we're almost at the end here in the 30th. And can you believe it's been 30 years since this show premiered?
I know, it's kind of crazy when you think about it.
Oh, boy. Yeah. And season five, folks, season four had a lot of emotional moments, but I think they were still kind of growing. Season five, man, they are like full swing, senior year of high school, getting ready to go to college and be adults.
No, don't touch that door.
Corey, we waited 3 years to go through this door.
They say the senior floor is like no other, my Sean, okay? So let us, as one, take a moment and savor.
Oh, baby.
This is going to be the best year of our lives, Shawnee.
Welcome to the senior floor and the best year of your life.
You're seniors?
We're teachers.
I have so much to learn.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the senior year, and I mean, of course, you still have Feeny.
Well, yeah, you're going to have Feeny at the end of the show, but yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and then you have, you know, Eric and that whole dynamic with him and Corey, and, you know, and then, of course, the introduction of Sean's brother.
Yep, Jack Hunter. And yeah, this was really, really cool. So the way we're going to do this, folks, I tried to streamline it a little bit. At first, I was going to do some weird thing, and then I thought better of it. But basically, we're going to give our highlights, lowlights, and then the lessons we learned from each of the episodes. So we got 12 episodes here, starting with Season 5, Episode 1, Brothers.
First day of college, and I got no place to stay. Show up at the dorm, I say, excuse me, ding, ding, front, please, Eric Matthews. I go here, where's my towel, where's my room? They tell me I'm not on the list, like there's a list.
Eric, I gave you the forms for the housing list 3 months ago.
Amy, go easy on him. Our son had a little mix-up in housing. He's home for a visit, okay?
Ooh, cut it for me.
Not a visit, he's back.
Why isn't Mommy happy to see me?
It's just sometimes you scare me. I mean, how are you supposed to do well in college if you can't even fill out a housing application?
Oh, worse than that. Checked the wrong box on another form. Now I think I'm an Eskimo.
And as you mentioned, Corey is so upset when Eric moves back home that he vows to find him a place to stay.
And this is kind of the start of where Eric becomes kind of a moron.
He does and he doesn't.
Like, he's still partially there, but he's starting to go that route.
Eric has an interesting journey, I think, through 5, 6, and 7 of the show. Seasons 5, 6, and 7 of the show.
I mean, he's highly intelligent, but a lot of the things he does are pretty dumb.
Yeah. But there are moments throughout this season and throughout the final two seasons that they weren't sure how, like, it seems to me as someone who watches the show, they didn't know which way they wanted to go. They didn't know if they wanted to lean into full-on lunacy Eric, like, you know, when he becomes Mr. Squirrels and all of that.
I'm sorry, that was awesome.
No, it is. I'm not saying it isn't. I'm saying they were at a point, at least to my eyes and ears, with that character, like, he starts this where, oh, I don't have a dorm because I didn't, you know, fill out the forms, or I didn't this, or I didn't get on the housing. Like, and that's a pretty, like, some college kids, some of us may have done something like that. But just the way that Will portrays Eric is that it just, I don't know, it is what it is. So they kind of have him leaning right now on this fence of either being comical but serious at the same time versus going, like I said, full lunacy, which he does eventually later. And in this episode, I'm going to ask you, did you and your brothers ever share a room or anything like that when you were kids? Or did you all have your own rooms?
Well, I had my own room for a time. And then there was a time where my middle brother and I would constantly switch back and forth, which was a detriment to my parents because it was supposed to be a punishment, but it ended up punishing them because whoever ended up with my youngest brother, it became a clown show. So, yeah, I mean, I had my own room for a while, then I didn't, and then I did. And then, so, yeah, it was kind of a lot of back and forth. I did enjoy having my own room.
Yes. So for the audience, it's you, Kevin, and Brian. Who is the is Brian the youngest?
No, Kevin is.
Kevin's the really.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay then. That's news to me, folks. I've been recording podcasts with this man for almost 14, 15, 16 years now. I didn't know what the order was. I knew Steve was the oldest, but Yeah, I couldn't imagine. Like, I was a lonely only child, and I was so stingy. I want this. I was mine. You know, all this and all that and whatever else. But I see in the characterization of Corey where Corey's like, finally, I finally get to have blah, blah, blah. And you know, that's cool. And I love the way that Will plays Eric with your root. Like, oh God, man. So good. So what were your highlights from Brothers?
It reminds me of the real life brother battles. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, it's interesting the dynamic, you know, and then the fact that, you know, Eric is kind of like, well, I don't want to move out. I'm moving back in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Jack Hunter showing up, you know, is kind of fun because you learn that it's Sean's older half brother and
yep.
Sean doesn't want anything to do with him. And then it's funny because Corey introduces, you know, the pair or whatever, tries mm-hmm. to fix them up and, you know, they don't want to live with each other either. And then, I love the dynamic, you know, of how they're trying to, you know, Corey's trying to pit them so that he can keep his own room.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. It's very, very cool. It's very, very interesting. Sadly, it's so great because you have a Lawrence that isn't that Lawrence, but it's one of those Lawrences. You know, come from 90s television and Blossom and everything else. So it's Matthew Lawrence in this. And it's funny because, again, talking about Danielle, Will, and Ryder's podcast, they had Matthew Lawrence on and very, very, very – everybody go check out all the interviews on Pod Meets World. So cool because we'll never get any of those interviews, sadly. But Brothers, for me, what – kind of struck me was the beginning of the episode. The senior year, the senior floor, and just all the stuff that's in their imaginations and everything else. And at my high school in Louisville, Kentucky at the time, we had a senior cafeteria. So that was the only thing separate for seniors.
See, we didn't have any of that. Seniors in my school, like we had, I mean, my high school was different. We had grades 7 through 12 in our school.
Oh, yeah.
And so nothing like and then eventually they added 6th grade. And then eventually they took 6 through 8 out after I graduated. But when they did introduce 6th grade, my brother was old enough to go and they relegated them to the basement. So they got put in the basement and they weren't allowed to come upstairs. Like they had to, and we weren't allowed to go down there, but it was funny because it's like, nope, we got to keep the youngins down in the basement. You know, it's mm-hmm. like they can't come out to play, you know? And so, it was kind of entertaining with that. But then, as I got older, I mean, yeah, there were perks to being a senior, but we didn't have anything special or separate. It was just we got a little bit more leeway with our coming and going.
Yeah, and for me with the senior cafeteria was that it was basically a separate room that actually we had stuff like Subway or McDonald's or Domino's or whatever come in and was just for seniors, if I remember right.
Well, we had lunches where you could buy Little Caesars, breadsticks and pizza, and I loved buying the pizza because they wrapped it in this plastic wrap, or not plastic wrap, but wax paper. I mean, they would send the whole pizzas to the school and then they would wrap it at the school. But it like condensed them and kept them more fresh. It was so much better than like the pizza that sits in the box for a while.
Yep.
And so like, I don't know if it was just like the fact that I mean, one, I worked pizza, but two, like I just was enamored the fact that I could go up there and order like a breadstick and a slice of pizza during lunch, even if I had already had my lunch.
Yeah.
There was just something special about going up there and getting it.
Yeah, absolutely. You have any low lights from Brothers?
Not really. I mean, it's of course, like the start of a new season, you getting, you know, the dynamic of Eric kind of trying to figure out where he's going in life. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the plot twist of Jack, which is kind of the road that they're building for Sean because they're going to kill off Chet.
Oh, of course you have to say it that way. Great.
Well, they did.
Yeah.
He died.
I mean, the character died.
Yeah. But I like how they kept bringing him back for flashbacks.
Yeah.
And yeah. Or the ghost scenes.
Yes. I don't have any lowlights for Brothers. I think it's an interesting start to the season. Like you said already, you know, they're introducing this whole new dynamic for Eric and Sean and Jack. And it seems to me that, and very much it's always kind of been this way, because Eric was the older brother. You have Eric and everything that he's doing. And then you have Corey and Topanga and Sean and all of that and whatever else. And it's so very, very separate. So yeah, very, very cool. Any lessons you learned from this episode?
Don't be in a hurry to ditch your brother.
Yeah.
Yes. While it may be nice to have your own room, the time that you share will never come again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very true. Very true. Very true. I agree with yours. I have no specific one for myself because, again, I can't. I mean, again, it's all about brothers. And yes, I've had roommates over the years and I've met people who eventually became roommates, whatever else. And we were friends for a while, but only while we were roommates. And those people have since left my life over the years. But it's like, I don't know, there's nothing in this episode for me to drag out a lesson. So the next episode is
about to do laundry unsupervised. Hello. Do you know where your story is?
Not in the hot water, it'll shrink. Oh, I should be there to talk him through this.
He's an idiot. Cut the cord.
Guys, this is Eric. His real name is Larry. He's my best friend Barbie's brother. But around us, he's Eric.
Hey, Mom. Daddy.
Come on, please. We all miss Eric so much, I hired Larry to be Eric.
That's ridiculous.
Does he play basketball?
Hi, Mom. Daddy.
Who are you?
Eric. Who are you? Eric. Welcome. Hey, I'm going to need some more clothes.
No kidding.
Oh, Corey, question. You know Sean better than anybody else. What is wrong with him? Why can't he get along with Jack?
I'll talk to him.
Well, you better get over there because you're going to kill each other.
Boy meets real world. It's a good thing we're not
borderline obnoxious, though.
So the only time this wasn't obnoxious is when Corey finally realized that he can't just stay behind the camera. So they tried doing certain things throughout the series so far that like they've tried to have things stick. Like if a character was going to have a catchphrase or something, or if a character was going to like Will doing a certain facial tic with Eric or something, they've had things that they've tried over the years. And now here, what they're trying, and I don't like it, is they are trying to mimic other shows. Like,
and they do it a lot in, I want to say, this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it's... this is not... Like, if I was giving single episode grades, I would probably just... Not for the lessons that are behind it, but for the overall way that it's being told, like, Boy Meets World is the real, like, oh, and they even call it out in the episode. Oh, it's kind of like that show on MTV, The Real World. And I'm like, zero. I wouldn't give it a zero, but what I like is how we get to the point of Sean and Jack's relate, like how they, oh, he's my half brother. He's this, he's that. He left my dad. He did this, he did that. You know, all this and all that. And
hey, look who's here. The documentary man. South Philly making movies.
Yeah, I figured you'd be here. Gosh, I haven't been here since you moved to the trailer park.
Yeah. You know, Jack lived here, too. Although I'm sure he's forgotten. So why don't you start rolling that thing and we'll finish your movie?
No, I'm not here for that. That's not important anymore.
It is to me. I've got something to say. Turn it on. I was 7 when my dad first told me that I had a brother. You know, I always wanted a brother. I wondered what he looked like, if he'd like me, if he even knew about me. When I was 10, I finally got the courage to write Jack a letter telling him all about me. I didn't get an answer. But I kept writing to him because he was my brother. And I must have sent him like 15 letters, and I never got a single thing back. So I knew that he didn't want to have anything to do with me. And he still doesn't.
I never got any letters.
What are you doing here?
My mom must have thrown them away without showing them to me.
I don't believe that. You're ashamed of me. You always were.
Sean.
Let me go.
No. You're not listening to him, okay? Now listen to what he has to say.
Don't get in the middle of this.
No, the problem is, Sean, I didn't get in the middle of this in the beginning.
You were behind your camera from the beginning.
I didn't realize what was going on. Listen, it's not about my film anymore. It's too personal now. This is your life. Give it a happy ending, okay?
We get to a point where they're, I guess, on the streets of Philadelphia, where it was Sean and Jack's and Chet's old place that they used to live, which, to my knowledge, had never been brought up before, which is fine, and that's great. But we finally get to the point of Sean, you know, saying, I used to write my brother every day because I wanted to know what it felt like to have a brother, and I never got a single, and, you know, we turn around and we see Jack. Oh, I never got the letters. My mom must have not shown them to me. So I like that aspect of it. I just think it sucks that they have to put it in the context of trying to rip off the real world.
Yeah, and then you start to see, you know, that some of the frustration between Sean and Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, the things that, you know, like the letters and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And so you start to feel for the characters because, you know, one's genuine and the other one's not, you know, or is a genuine well, thing. The other one is purposely trying to mess with them. And
yeah,
it's, you know, and it turns out it's, you know, the parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because they both wanted to know each other and this was their opportunity to finally make it happen.
Yep. Yeah. And I got to say, for 2 episodes this season, my highlight.
Replacement Eric?
No. I love that Morgan did that, but no.
Well, they start throwing in more quirky things like that, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's just, it's really funny how they keep doing it through the series as it goes, but it centers around Eric.
Yes. No, but for two of these episodes, and this is one specifically, is Paul Gleason is Vernon from Breakfast Club. And the Dean from great actor, Paul Gleason. He was Clarence Beeks in Trading Places. And was he Clarence Beeks in Trading Places? Yes, I think that's what his name was, right? Yeah, Clarence Beeks, yeah. Whatever happened to Beeks? We don't know. And he ended up in the ape costume and all that stuff.
I just want to go to college. I just want to do the work, hey? I like you too much to let you do that. Hey. Oh, Dean?
Not now.
Okay.
Hey.
He's gonna love us. Oh, Dean?
You don't listen, do you?
Jack, pal.
What?
Bow your head. Sir, we actually just like to discuss with you a paper that we're writing and perhaps even establish a type of relationship I had with my former mentor, Mr. Feeney.
You know the kind of people that have mentors? People who can't think for themselves. Weak people. You're in college now, buddy boy. The big leagues, the show. I've got over 25,000 students in this university, and each one of them lined up to kiss my dean butt. Looking for an easy way. But I'm going to tell you something. The only easy way is the hard way. You don't say much, pretty boy?
I'm very scared, sir.
Good. That's how I became the dean.
We are so in.
But, you know, everybody knows who Paul Gleason is. And I'm looking through the man's filmography and I'm just like, oh, my God, he has been in so much. Like, his career kind of, okay, it started. His debut was in Panic in Year Zero in 1962 as an uncredited acting and film debut. But basically from Trading Places till when he passed – because sadly he's no longer with us. He hasn't been with us when he passed away in 2006. Wow. I thought it was a lot later than that, but
I thought so too. I could have sworn I saw him in stuff later, but evidently not.
Yeah, not. And, but seeing him here as the dean and it's not technically the same character as Breakfast Club, but it's similar along those lines. And I just thought that was so hilarious and so interesting.
Hi, Dean. It's about time, sir.
How did you get in here? It's after hours. This building is locked. You're trespassing. You know that. You're violating my personal property. I could have you both shock therapied.
Look, Dean, we really need that extension.
In my entire 27-year dean career, which spans 5 colleges on 3 continents, including China, Watong Lai Bope Len Hu Shu Song Fong Kwang Yen Chi.
Lembelen Piwani Poli Itzi Piruso Igoyan. Okay, just bought us a month. You speak Chinese?
I do.
I gotta say, besides the overall theming of this episode for lowlights for me, though, is that even though we finally get to a point where they get the truth from each other, but the constant assumptions of Sean towards Jack, and Jack even tells him.
Good. It gets a little old.
Yeah, it gets a little old. And it's one of those things where, you know, Jack even breaks it down to him. And look, yeah, my stepfather had money. I didn't, you know, I've worked for everything I've got. I pay for college on my own. I'm doing this on my own. So technically I was sort of just like you on my own kind of thing. And, you know, so we get that. But up until that point, it's like, oh, man, Sean, come on. lesson for this from you?
I don't really know. I mean, other than, you know, don't more so be a friend and listen instead of purposely try to, like, Corey was just kind of a hindrance all episode with the camera and not, he was totally oblivious to the conflict happening before him and instead was focused on him.
Yeah.
Himself. And in doing so had caused a bigger rift between the brothers and himself with them. And had to kind of learn, you know, hey, that's, you know, go back to normal. That's, you know, forget the camera. That's work this out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm right there with you. And the thing of it is between Corey and Sean, they both learn lessons. And the lesson, like you said, is all of that. Like, and this was, I believe, the soft debut of Angela Moore with Trina McGee Davis as Angela in this. Mm-hmm. So we kind of get her introduction a little bit.
Well, and the Dean really doesn't show up until the next two episodes.
Mm. I thought he was in this one.
No, he's in It's Not You, It's Me in Fraternity Row.
And Fraternity. Oh, that's right. Okay.
And well. He delivers one of the best lines in that one, though.
So it's not you, it's me. After Sean and Corey agree to attend the same college, Sean learns Corey's made interview plans on his own, and then the two decide it's time to go their separate ways. Meanwhile, Eric thinks befriending the dean will eat. Okay, yeah. I remember this now. Yep. And man, who that, like, I've never heard of the kid actors that they cast as the younger versions of Corey, Topanga and Sean. But they kind of hit the nail on the head with those kid actor, like, the kind of look, like the young Corey definitely, like, had a bigger Brillo head than he has now. Sean has the leather jacket and the kind of attitude, and Topanga's a little bit more innocent and not so flowery, but she's, you know, and that's the thing with her character. They kind of moved her away from being the hippie girl.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They moved her away from being the kind of hippie, 1960s-ish type character to more modern and more outgoing and less weird.
Yep.
Probably because they were trying to, one, make her evolve and, two, make her more relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Should. Those guys say that you live in a trailer park and I shouldn't like you.
Oh, well, if you want to have lunch with me, I'll be right here.
Hey, Topanga, look, I'm a llama. Look, I'm a wah-wah-wah.
Corey, I told you not to play by the llamas.
Help! Help!
Somebody! Help! Help! Help!
The llama pen.
It was fun.
My name's Corey.
I'm Sean.
Hi, I'm Topanga,
the wife. I'm sorry I didn't have lunch with you. My friends were wrong. They're not even my friends.
I'll be your friend.
Really?
Just promise me when we grow up you won't go to college and leave me.
Okay. Friends forever?
Forever.
Stop it. You're boys.
It. You're boys.
Yeah, absolutely. So the whole point of this one episode is that ever since they were all kids, Corey and Sean were supposed to go to college together. And, you know, Corey, and what I love about this is that, you know, Corey says, oh, I've only been putting letters out. And then you turn around, Topanga's like, oh, well, I applied to Yale. And he, like, spins on his, you applied to where? Like, I like that whole juxtaposition of how he and Sean are dealing with it and how Sean believes that Sean isn't smart enough or doesn't have enough money to go to college to pay for the education and whatever else. Whereas, does Corey really? Like, what surprises me about some of these conversations is that I think Topanga is one of the three that only mentions that she may or may not have a scholarship somewhere. Like, these guys are fairly smart for them, at least for every single class that Feeney has taught them for the last 12 years. Okay, yes, there was, you know, Mr. Turner and I don't even remember Eli. Mr. Williams was Alex Desert's character. That's right. But he was only media arts at the time. But yeah, Mr. Turner's gone. Mr. Turner left at the beginning of the season kind of thing. Obviously, the last time we saw him was his motorcycle accident that happened. But yeah, it surprises me that none of them mention trying to get scholarships or trying to go through the whole thing of financial aid for school and what, like, none of that is brought up to my, and I've watched these episodes at least four times before we did this episode of the show. So, I don't know.
Yeah, and the episode's kind of funny because, you know, you get Sean and Corey arguing just based on the college thing through the whole episode. And you start to see a little bit of smart but stupid Eric in this one, more so.
Yeah.
And the more he's around Jack, like, the more they try and make Jack look smart, although he's dumb in other areas.
Yeah.
And so they're both dumb, but in different areas from each other. And then probably the dumbest thing is trying to befriend the dean.
Yeah.
Because Eric is just like, well, I was friends with Feeney this whole time. You know, why can't I be friends with him?
I mean, it's sound logic, I guess, but... Not,
I mean, because really, he even goes after he gets like shut down by the new dean, he goes and talks to Feeney about it.
Because Feeney is his friend. And because at this point, see, and again, like, I know Eric is supposed to be the older brother, but I don't remember if his, like, if Corey and Sean are graduating now, Eric should have already been out. Like, the fact that Eric is having to apply for housing at Pembroke, like, he's the older brother. He should either already be in college. Like, that's what confuses me about this part of the show as we're transitioning from Corey and Sean's senior year into them going into college. It makes it sound like Eric is also finally getting into college. Like, obviously, he got held back a year or two, but he was never in any of their classes. The other four seasons of the show so far have always shown Eric doing other things, or, like, there was no senior year display for Eric. So it's like, what's the timeline here? I don't understand. Like, how... Yeah, it's confusing. So, okay, so any lowlights from It's Not You, It's Me?
Not really. I mean, other than it's kind of, I mean, this season they start playing more of the boo-hoo, Sean.
Yep.
And it's kind of grating the more it happens.
Yeah.
And it's no knock against the actor, because he's just, I mean, he plays it really well. It's the fact that the writers keep bringing up the same trope. Over and over. And I get that, like, you know, people in those situations, they're everybody has different problems in life and different situations. My issue with it is that it takes a long time for him to realize he has to pick himself up to get out of the situation that he's in and not just sit in it.
Yeah. Yeah. It does take him a while, and It's kind of sad. And I mean, I don't know if they initially planned it to be like that, because we still have, obviously, another half of this season and then the other two seasons left. But, like, there's so much that happens to Sean throughout these last three seasons that it's just, maybe the slowness of this has to be because of what eventually he'll go through later. I don't know. And So part two to this sort of is Fraternity Row. It isn't a part two, but Fraternity Row is the fourth episode after After attending a college class and engaging in a winning debate with a professor, an empowered Sean neglects high school tasks in favor of collegiate ones and gets suspended. Meanwhile, Eric forms his own fraternity, Magnum Pi. Now, see, I laughed at that.
Because they had the shirt. That. They had the shirt facing That's, away from him, yeah. and he's like, he was trying to figure out the name of it. And he's like, Magnum Pi. And then you see the shirt Magnum PI and it was, I don't know. It was funny. While I do find new Eric kind of dumb in a lot of areas, he's also brilliant in a lot of areas because one, he's either copying different stuff, you know, like, there's an episode where they, and it's later, but, where they do the Truman Show and he's self-directing and he's acting like, Ed Harris.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's situations like that. But, I mean, he's got so many fun, interesting dynamics, you know, like where he pulls the wig off and, you know, he's got the different hair. I do enjoy it, even though some of it's a little played out for how dumb he's supposed to be. But I do love the games that he does.
Yeah. And, again, this is my thing of I don't think that he is – as dumb as he gets later, like he goes into this high functioning dumbassery later, you know, to become Mr. Squirrels and all of that. So I think that, again, this is that mix of them trying to figure out, do we make him smart? Do we make him this? Do we make him that? And it works for the most part. And I like I went to community college for about half a semester. And my biggest problem with college, besides the financial aid and all that and everything else, was at that time back in the 90s, because I graduated high school in 99, went into college fall of 99, whatever. And like back then, I don't know if it is the same today, you had to have math and I are opposite ends of the earth. Like, arch enemies to each other. I just can't deal. And by the time, you know, you get to college level math, it's algebra and calculus and trigonometry. And I'm like, I just can't even do that. So it's like, you know, so I eventually ended up going to the workforce after trying and sort of succeeding the first half of the community college that I went to. So I never really had this whole college dorm room, like campus lifestyle kind of thing. And I've never been a partier anyway. So the whole pledging to a fraternity, I never had any interest in any of that stuff. But I find this episode hilarious with Fraternity Row because they both Eric and Jack end up in dresses.
Well, and then they do the whole love boat thing. Oh God,
you guys.
They do the whole love boat thing, and the dean even goes.
Yep. Well, they do the whole love boat thing because they have guest stars Bernie Coppell and Ted Lang as themselves. And it wasn't until I'm like, Bernie Coppell. I'm like, wait a minute. I know. Oh, he was Siegfried in Guest. I'm like, oh, yes. He was an agent of chaos because – where I know him from was the Don Adams Get Smart. Now that's a podcast we should do at some point. Not a full on but just an episode of like studio, just going back and watching some of, Get Smart. Love that show. Fraternity Row. I'm not sure if there are lessons here. Not with Eric and Jack. With Sean, there probably is because Sean even, and the funny thing is, the guy who will, because I don't think he was at this time, but the actor who will eventually become the character of Angela's dad is the professor at the college in this episode that Sean goes to. I'm like, wait a minute, what's Angela's dad doing here so early?
Hi, Sean. Down here, I saved a seat for you.
No, why don't you come on and sit in the back?
You, stop talking and take a seat down here. When we left off yesterday, we're analyzing French philosopher Jacques Bourdin's paradox. A hungry dog is place an equal distance between two bowls containing equal amounts of food. Which does he choose?
Not me, not me.
Jennifer.
Birdsong concluded that the dog would starve to death, implying that we can only choose that which our reason tells us is the greater good.
Refute this argument using dialectic reasoning. You.
Well, I think the dog would choose the food on the right.
That's one way to go. Why not the left?
Okay, the left. Doesn't really matter. I mean, anybody would eat something before they starve to death.
Did the rest of you see what he just did there? He skipped right ahead to Schopenhauer's theory that the will to live is the predominant human trait. Name?
Sean?
Nonlinear thinking. Good.
Wow. Schopenhauer. That's like graduate level.
Really?
I like the way your mind works. Free will, want to take a shot?
Do I really have a choice?
Ooh. I gotta take five.
So, the fact that Sean likes and is interested and wants to do the college stuff and he doesn't want to do is because I think that, for the most part, he's kind of skipped his way through the basics. He's kind of skipped his way through Feeny's lessons, not just in this specific episode, but throughout his entirety of being Feeny's student. He's done the work, but he's done it to a point of just to do it and not really to learn the basic lesson of sentence structure or grammar or punctuation or all of that. And he realizes by the time we get to college that you're supposed to already know all that stuff. So yeah, what about lessons for you?
It was kind of hard pressed other than, you know, Sean kind of realizing.
Yeah.
And also not trying to pretend you're something you're not.
Yeah, there's always that. Absolutely, yes. And then we get to the fifth episode of season five, an episode that I wish I could completely skip.
Look, I'm sorry I had a bad night, but I got Millie out there. Ooh, my manners. I'll go say hello. Hi, Millie. You know, I'm really glad you and Jack hooked up. He doesn't have a lot of friends here.
It's very important for me to have Jack. Don't get in my way.
You know, Jack, I'm really glad you met somebody, but don't you find her a little freaky?
I don't even care who's guest starring or special guest starring. Like, just completely, this was, I've been trying to defend the whole Eric characterization choices as far as saying that they don't know which way they went away with him here. Oh, man. Like, the witches of Pembroke.
Yeah, and I'm I hated this episode, to be honest.
I'm right there with you. I could do without it.
I'm fine not covering it other than the fact that they got DJ to play Millie.
Yep. They got Candace Cameron Bure to play Millie. And then they have this is kind of the ABC crossover stuff kind of coming in at the end of the episode. They have Melissa Joan Hart as Sabrina. But I'm just like, nope. It makes no. So, okay. It's Not You, It's Me is characterization. Fraternity Row is seeing about how college life is. We go from Fraternity Row to the Witches of Pembroke, and I get, oh, that's why. Dumbass. Guess when this episode aired?
Halloween.
October 31st, 1997. Yeah. That's why this episode is here where it is. It sucks being where it is because of, like, I can see this as like a one-off comedy thing, but we're trying to learn about, and I understand Boy Meets World is a family comedy and everything else, but like, it's also a show that takes, you know, family television very, very seriously. We're seeing all these transitions from all these characters, from Eric to Corey to Sean to even Morgan as she's growing up, even though we don't see Morgan as much. But, and yeah, no, I'm, no, we're skipping the Halloween episode, folks. No Guts, No Corey, season 5, episode 6.
Oh, Those darn hippies. They talk about free love, then they want me to chip in for gas, like I got a wallet. Hypocrites.
And so, the United States entered World War II on December 7th, 1941. As FDR said, a day that will live in infamy. Oh, I want to thank those of you who brought in some of your family mementos. It helped to show that this war was not just a point in history, but an event that touched all our lives. Thank you.
Hey, listen, can I see that picture of your grandparents again?
Sure.
Wow. They look very much in love.
Yeah, they still are. You know, he asked her to marry him on December 7th, 1941.
Wait, I know that date. Help me out here.
Pearl Harbor, the day that will live in infamy. Feeney was just talking about it.
You listened to Feeney? Oh, my God. I listened to Feeney.
And this is another weird one.
It's another weird one.
Well, they kind of continued because they had Sabrina and now they have Salem.
It's a crossover. So this episode is part two of a time travel themed crossover with Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which started with You Wish and Teen Angel, that begins on Inagata Sabrina, and it continues on Genie Without a Cause and concludes on One Dog Night. I think I like this simply because of
the time period piece.
Well, not even that. I think I like this specifically because of Salem, specifically because of Nick Baquet, who plays the voice of Salem.
Well, and you have Maurice LaMarche as the narrator.
Yep. That is awesome as well. And yeah, but the time period piece, like, I don't know. So
I didn't mind it because I like
first half of the episode or first half.
But I mean, overall, it's not bad. I just it's not one of my favorites, but it's an interesting take regardless. Cause I mean, yeah. Corey loses his memory and, you know, it's kind of showing that, you know, it's a very Disney trope. But you know, it just shows that, you know, he would find his true love, when Topanga kisses him. So
yeah, it's one of those things where, again, you have it's so this season is so weird. You have four episodes in a row that are all character building in various ways. And then you have The Witches of Pembroke and then No Guts, No Corey. Witches of Pembroke is essentially completely forgettable for the most part as far as plot line and storyline of the characters. This makes sense. The No Guts, No Corey episode makes sense with, you know, him having to perform duty and go to World War II and go fight and this, that, and the other thing. And the whole, oh, Sean, you should marry Topanga and blah, blah, blah. And at the end of it, though, it's like, I don't know. It's just weird. But yeah, Salem. Gotta love Salem.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So season 5, episode 7. I love you, Donna Karen.
What did Topanga mean about me being afraid to commit? You know, most relationships don't work out, and I just want to get out before anyone gets hurt, okay?
Sean, we just want you to be happy.
Hey, look, somebody left their purse.
Hey, Mr. Feeney, we found this purse. Who runs a lost and found?
I do, Mr. Matthews. I teach English, history, and film, and I run the Lost and Found.
We'll put up a notice.
Would you?
Maybe you should go through it and see if there's any ID.
No, not gonna. I once went through my mom's purse. Yeah, I can't look at her anymore.
Okay. Stand back. I'm going in. Okay, no wallet, no ID.
Well, there's gotta be something in there that lets us know who she is, right?
Lip gloss. She cares about her lips.
Kiwi mango.
No way. Kiwi, that is so sexy. Do you know that the Ted Koppel show called that the lip gloss of forbidden love?
And look at this, a book of sonnets.
Shakespeare. I hear he's good.
Notice the bookmark. A ticket stub to a Van Damme movie, only the greatest actor ever made.
Okay, so all we got here is a purse-losing, lips-protecting, poetry-reading, Van Damme-loving gal. I'd give her 2 weeks.
Sean's steadfast rule of dating girls only for a fixed 2-week period leads him to break up with Angela, and then he finds himself falling in love with the owner of a lost purse he finds, since the contents indicate that she is the girl of his dreams. Meanwhile, Eric studies for a test with the help of an invisible Mr. Feeney, while Jack wonders about Eric's sanity.
I loved that.
Yeah, me too.
The invisible Feeney. It was, yep. I don't know, I just, something about it, it was just entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So this is another two-parter, because this is I Love You, Donna Karen, and then we have Chasing Angela next, but we're going to focus on I Love You, Donna Karen first. I love this episode because I love that we're finally getting Sean and Angela. We're getting the beginnings of that and all of that. I think that's great. I just love that he wants to change his dating habits, just the way that he is, the way that he's always been, because Sean has always been to the point of relationships don't last. His mom left him, his dad left him, this left him, he's always getting left, kind of thing. So that's what, you know, through his younger years and now teen years and getting to the point of becoming a high school, you know, graduate, he's getting to the point of, oh, you know, 2-week rule, that's it. It was fun while it lasted and blah, blah, blah. No real emotion, no real this, no real that. In walks Angela and, you know, or I should say in walks Angela's stuff inside some, that was the funny thing to me. I'm like, oh, okay. We think it's her purse. It's her stuff in some other girl's. I'm like, oh wow, okay, well then. But no, that was hilarious. But no, I love these two episodes here. But I love you, Donna Karen. Like, how? What's weird is that I think Corey starts wearing the kiwi mango lipstick, even though Sean likes it for it being Angela's. Corey starts wearing it and Topanga kisses him and she's like, oh, what's that? It's kiwi mango. I'm like, oh, Corey. Oh, Corey. Oh, Lord. Yeah, there are a lot of things in this to love. Again, finally, like we were just mentioning about the character progression kind of going a little slow. Well, now the character progression of Sean, of him growing up a little more easily and a little bit faster, starts in this episode, and it's so fun. What are your thoughts?
I was entertained mostly by the stuff with Eric.
Okay, talk about that, because I didn't talk about that.
Yeah, I love the fact that he's trying to take this big test in college and wants Feeney's help, but Feeney's like, you know, you can do it. You already know how. I've prepared you. And then he starts having these hallucinations of Feeney in just casual clothes, just showing up randomly. Mm-hmm. And talking to him, and Jack giving him this look, and he's like, no, Feeney's right here. And then Jack like is convinced by the end of it and is trying to talk to Feeney, but he doesn't have his own personal Feeney in his head. And Feeney eventually, you know, the imaginary Feeney goes and he's like, oh, I'm going on vacation. He's like, you can't leave.
Yeah, it's so funny, and it's a way for Bill Daniels and for Will Friedle
to have fun
and do something as the characters. And again, it's still teaching Eric a lesson of
he already possesses the knowledge he needs
because Feeney already gave it to him, or he learned it from Feeney, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Absolutely. But yeah, and you know, the lessons on this are, you know, like we kind of already mentioned that, you know, Eric already has the knowledge. Sean is finally kind of, you know,
realizing that he can have nice things and this, that, and the other thing and everything else, and trying to get to know somebody. And it does kind of leave it. Like I said, this is a two-parter kind of thing, so.
I'm pretty sure I said Corey. And I also made us reservations at Borelli's.
Wasn't it our anniversary last month?
No, no, no. We were just doubling with my parents. It was their anniversary.
Okay, wait. So when's ours?
It's Wednesday.
How come Janitor Bud knows our anniversary?
Oh, no, no. That's Sean. He's hiding from Angela.
Oh, that is so sweet.
It's like everything I have ever known about girls has been completely erased from my brain. Hello, sir. See? I know that was wrong.
Sean, listen. You gotta pull yourself together.
All my life, I have never worried about whether a girl likes me or not. But with Angela, it matters. I really want her to like me.
That is so cute.
Personally, I worship the man. It's a little sad.
Well, here she comes again. Why don't you talk to her?
I don't think so.
Hey, Sean.
Hi.
Do you want to go out and get something to eat later?
I'd like that.
Oh, I saw this, and I thought of you. See ya.
What'd she give you?
It's a little seashell.
Do you like seashells?
I like this one.
Getting into episode 8, which is Chasing Angela, an eager Corey encourages Sean to consider the same type of long-term relationship he has with Topanga with Angela. Except that the two of them start not to get along so well. Meanwhile, Jack and Eric are nervous about hosting Thanksgiving dinner for the Matthews family at their new apartment.
Is pumpkin pie supposed to have bones?
That's it. Calling the caterers. Your parents are expecting some traditional feast.
Oh, my parents? Come on. Thanksgiving's like the least important day of the year to them. They don't even exchange gifts.
Hey, Jack.
Hey.
Eric. Hey, I know you guys are busy, so I'm going to get right to this. Thanksgiving is the most important day of the year to me. I'm sure Eric told you that.
No, no, he didn't.
Yeah, I did, Daddy. Here's what he wants to hear.
30 years ago, I sat down to Thanksgiving dinner with my grandpa, Charlie. We feasted on turkey, stuffing, cranberries, yams, and pie. Then we sat down. I watched my first football game on TV, sitting on my grandpa's knee. He gave me this watch. And then he went upstairs to take a little nap and died in his sleep.
Daddy, I miss Grandpa Charlie.
3 days till turkey.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, as this progresses, we have Sean and Angela kind of coming together and kind of doing all of that and you know, getting to know each other, and we figure out the purse mystery that Angela was just borrowing the purse. Like, I don't understand. I don't know. It's a whole thing, folks. Like,
it's very teenage.
Yeah.
Like the emotional roller coaster and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, and then the, you know, doing the. The restaurant, the fancy restaurant, and everything else. I don't know. It was entertaining, but it's not one that I really cared all that much for.
It's, I care about it because it's, again, the continuation of Sean and Angela as they kind of start with their relationship. But again, you're chasing Angela, chasing Amy, whatever kind of thing. It's one of those things where Sean has always said that he wants what Corey and Topanga have. No couple on this earth, fictitious or reality, are going to have what is written up for Corey and Topanga.
No.
Wow. Topanga. Wrong canyon. But it's one of those things where that's part of Sean's character, is he wants what they have and he's trying to get it with Angela, whereas he then finds out she's fine with just burgers and fries at Chubby's or whatever, you know, whatever it is that they just, you know, whatever it is they decide to go. I like it. I think it's fun. I think it's the start. It's like the second date kind of thing. It is what it is. They're trying to learn about each other. And hell, even Topanga doesn't want half the stuff that Corey dreams up for her.
Mm-mm.
Like, say, anniversary of what? How many it's the anniversary of the anniversary. I'm like, oh, God, Corey, come on, dude. lessons for this one is, I guess, just kind of.
Kind of just be real, be authentic. Yeah. Don't try that hard.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously try hard, but not try that hard.
Yeah, no, you put in effort, but don't overdo it. Don't plan the next 50 years of your life and then, you know, whatever. The other part that we do need to bring up in all of this is Jack and Eric, because they do attempt to do Thanksgiving dinner on their own. And then by the end of it, we all see them all kind of together because, and I love Alan in this. William Russ is just so great as Alan. Like, this is the most important, like, Thanksgiving is the most important. Like, oh, Alan, you're just throwing it on there thick. And they're under all this pressure. And then at the end, we have everybody, you know, pitching in. Even more, I believe, even Morgan shows up with them. So very, 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 very cool. So we get to episode 9. We're almost done with the first half of the season, folks. Episode 9, it is all about how to succeed in business. And
you know, that is exactly the type of behavior that is going to get you fired from the work-study program.
Oh, nobody gets fired from the work-study program. Let's try and have a good time.
They're not paying us to have a good time.
Corey, they're not paying us at all, which is exactly why the CEO of this company is going to get a photocopy of my butt.
They're paying us in experience.
Working in the mailroom?
You know, a lot of people in this company started in the mailroom. I began right where you're standing 43 years ago.
You see that? And where do you work now?
Right where you're standing. Move.
43 years with the same company. Wow. You must really love advertising.
Advertising? Is that what they do here?
I remember watching this episode, I think, when it aired. I was 17.
Yeah, I had seen most of these when they aired.
I remember watching this as it aired, and I watched it obviously again for this, but this is not only like Corey and Sean, you know, going for this work, you know, again, it's another one of those high school co-op or work study or whatever, where you get to go to, you know, part of your day is school and then the rest of your day is going to a job kind of thing. And you have Corey and Sean going to the same job. And
Sean, what are you doing?
Hey, I may not know much about business, but I do know that when a phone rings, you answer it. Hello, Keller Marsden. Nope. I don't see him. Can I help you?
Sean, hang up the phone. Hang up!
What are you yelling for?
Oh my God, they're yelling. Yell back!
If you were supposed to have it today, and it's not there, don't you think that we have a very good reason? Mr. Beck, we weren't going to send those ads out until they were perfect. Uh-huh. You'll have them Monday. No, thank you, Mr. Becker. Of course.
Who are you?
His name is George Feeney.
Sean Hunter. Work study program. Who are you?
Tom Morris, Vice President Keller Marsden Advertising.
Oh. You just got a phone call.
I heard. I like the way you handle Becker.
Turns out Sean is more successful at the work study jobs than Corey is, and he's a whiz at public relations while Corey gets stuck in the mailroom. Actually, he gets stuck as a janitor after he gets fired.
Well, it kind of shows you that you are not your circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. And this one is also when Eric says something to Amy about doing something with her life, about doing something. Like, she's raised her children. Like, yes, she still has Morgan, but Corey is, you know, graduating high school. Eric is already in college kind of thing. And he basically encourages her to go back to school. And Amy ends up in the same creative writing class as Eric. And Amy does some very real world creative writing. And
oh, yeah, it's creative.
Well, it's based on reality. So, you know, at least reality of the series of, you know, how she felt when she was, you know, first dating Alan and marriage and giving birth to Eric. And Eric throughout all of this is like, ah, I can't hear this. It's so good.
Next, we will hear from Amy.
A young married woman by Amy Matthews.
Oh, this is great. 1,000 words on dryer lint.
The wedding was over. I was 19 and about to embark on a new life. The hotel suite was as lovely as a picture. Alan walked toward me, and I began to tremble.
Oh, my God.
My lips.
So, so good. All right. Any lessons out of how to succeed in business?
Again, I think it's just trying to stand out, but being authentic to who you are, and you're not cut out for every type of situation.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And then we go to the last, no, not the last thing. Yeah. Last tango in Philly. Yep.
Well, why didn't she just say so? Women, man, they speak in code.
So Angela and Topanga get jobs at a Mexican restaurant, and they start dancing right away with two handsome, suave co-workers. And Corey and Sean are loco with jealousy on this. And soon they, along with Alan, Eric, Jack, and Mr. Feeney, try to figure out the hidden meaning behind women's words. Dun, dun, dun. This was good. This was fun. This was interesting because I like all of the men of the show kind of trying to getting together and trying to figure this all out. And you would think that Feeney would have some sort of answer for this. And I'm glad that he just does. He like, nope, no clue.
Hey, guys.
Angela doesn't even get me. It's like Topanga and me are speaking different languages.
Well, one thing's obvious. It's not us. It's them.
Well, now, wait a minute. Maybe we should all just think a second.
No, Sean and I tried that. It doesn't work. Okay, I've been silent long enough. Guys, I've been working on a theory. Men are idiots. What? No, wait, there's more. All right, there it is. Men are big idiots. See that? Wait, so what do we do? You know, maybe we should just try listening to
the boom boom room.
Yeah.
El Coyote. The Coyote.
Yep.
Sergio and Nunzio.
Yeah, Sergio and Nunzio. That's crazy. But yeah, I mean, I like this one. I think it's fun. Again, I'm wanting more of the growth storyline for them. But I mean, they have to, Corey and Sean have to grow within their relationships. Like, they can't get this jealous all the time when the girls aren't even doing anything.
No, but there was the other thing too. Like, it's very much of male and female brain not being on the same wavelength. Mm-hmm. Because the men don't see a problem with certain things or think that their gift or what they did is just fine. And then the women have a totally different perspective on it, which is why Corey and Sean are offended by their going dancing because they don't want to.
Yeah.
And then Alan, you know, angering Amy, and then Feeney not understanding that he's being hit on, and Eric has to be like, hey, dude,
Yeah.
But it's funny because Feeney and Eric, you know, they work well together. You have this highly intelligent man and this guy that is seemingly an idiot, but he's, you know, with people, he knows people.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And it's just one of those episodes where it's like, okay, it's a learning episode. It's a teaching episode. It's an episode, like you already mentioned, about the sexes and and all that, and how everyone approaches it differently, kind of thing. And yeah, I like this one. I think it's fun.
Since the beginning of time, men have been idiots. This will make up for it.
I think it's good. I think the first half of season five is, it's a mixed bag, but it's a mixed bag in a way where you think you're expecting one thing, but you get another that is actually better. You know what I mean? Like, take out the episodes that we don't really need in there, like the crossovers and things like that. And Boy Meets Real World. Ugh. Just the overall premise of Corey behind the camera. Anyway, it's interesting how we've gotten to this point, and we get to the penultimate episode of this first half with a very Topanga Christmas. Corey wonders if he's being henpecked when Topanga spends the holidays with the Matthews family and takes charge of the festivities. Corey plans to surprise Topanga, who's spending Christmas at his house, with a promise ring that means they'll be together forever. Dun, dun, dun. But he's unnerved by the moments of doubt when, after learning that he and Topanga, who have so much in common, have very different holiday traditions. She drinks cider rather than eggnog, she prefers fresh-cut tree to an aluminum one, and she opens gifts on Christmas Eve, not in the morning. When it seems unwilling to compromise, Corey has serious misgivings about the ring and their future.
Hi, guys. Thanks for letting me spend Christmas with you. My parents went on a cruise to Barbados, but I told them no, I wanted to spend Christmas with Corey.
Hey, why don't we toast Topanga's first Matthews Christmas with some of my special eggnog?
Yeah.
There you are.
Mmm, this is really good. Have you guys ever tried hot mulled cider?
No. Nah, we're an eggnog family.
Wait, if this is tradition, I would never want to interfere with tradition. It's just that, you know, my family's always had cider.
Well, we could have both, huh? How?
You're seniors in high school.
Well, and you got to remember too, I mean, it's that teenage mentality, but also because they've not lived together. They have no idea what they're getting in for.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they kind of joke. It kind of comes more at the other half of the season, but they kind of joke about, oh, we've been married for 15 years already, you know, because they've been in love since they were five or whatever it is. Kind of thing. And you're right, they don't know what it's like to live with each other because they haven't yet, nor should they, unless they, you know, unless they want to, unless whatever. But yeah, like, that's the whole thing about relationships, is that you don't, and we'll say this much, much later when we get to part two of season five, you don't want to date the same person as you don't want to date yourself. What's the point in dating if you're going to date yourself? You can just be with yourself, you know? So having those differences and, you know, if you like him, you like him. If you don't, like, if you like eggnog, fine. If I don't like cider, fine. Whatever it is, you know, we'll just kind of deal with it, I guess. Any other things on Christmas for you?
Just seeing the difference in traditions and seeing that, you know, everything's not what it seems until you kind of get in the thick of it. And also, if something bothers you, talk about it. Don't just run.
Yeah, don't let it fester. Yeah, don't run. Don't let it fester. I mean, give each other space and time if the person needs it, but don't let it just sit there. Yeah. And yeah, the same thing for me. Just don't. That's the biggest thing. Like you said, the lesson here is just talk about your stuff with each other. And then ending out part one is episode 12, Raging Corey. Corey gets so upset that Alan engages only in conversation with him, but plays sports with Eric, and then he knocks Alan down. So Alan and Eric kidnap Corey and take him skydiving. Afterward, Corey feels better, but now Eric, miffed that he and his dad rarely have meaningful conversations. Oh boy.
You know, that's all our relationship is. That's not like him and Eric. They do stuff together. Well, I want to do stuff too. I never want to talk to him again.
Come in with us.
K,
Can we talk about this?
Okay! You successfully completed the ground course! Welcome to your first jump! Yeah!
I wasn't paying attention on the ground, and I feel I shouldn't be allowed up here.
You know that love? It's the drama. You know, like, will the chute open or will it not?
This isn't fair. When you hit the ground, you were not 10,000 feet above it.
Corey, you know, this is something Eric and I have been talking about doing. There's no reason you shouldn't be a part of it.
So this isn't because I pushed you down?
Well, yes, it is because you pushed me down. You know, if you're that upset about something, I have to take a hard look at what I'm doing wrong.
Well, I just feel like I wanna do things with you, not just talk about stuff.
Well, Corey, I don't do things with Eric because I don't want to do them with you. It's just the way Eric and I relate.
Yeah, Dad just doesn't look at you as much an action-adventure guy as he looks at me, Corey. It takes real guts just to get up here in the first place. You did good. You don't want to have to jump. You don't have to.
No. If this is what you guys do, I'm with you guys.
Okay, Corey, that's great. If you want to jump with us, then you jump. Or if you want to play basketball or baseball, whatever, I'll be there. But just promise me one thing. I don't want to lose that part of our relationship that I consider most special.
What?
Special.
The relationship
part,
special.
I love when we talk.
You do?
You do?
Yeah, you know, I enjoy your opinions and your views on things. And I wouldn't trade being able to talk to you for anything.
You tell me this now?
Yeah, I mean, what good is playing basketball or throwing around a football if you don't have good conversation? Right, Dad?
All right, we're at the jump point!
Again, I remember this one like it was yesterday. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, this one's fun.
Yeah, this one is so good. Go ahead. What do you like about it? What are your highlights?
Well, I like the fact that they, you know, Corey is, you know, he. I don't like the fact that he shoves his dad down. But, you know, Alan sees, you know, that his son's upset. And so, like, I love the kidnapping part of Eric and Alan. And then taking him into the plane. And then Corey's, like, first one to jump out, like, in his, like, spastic manner. And then Alan doesn't want to talk to Eric because Eric's spazzing out in the plane, like, I want more. And he's like, what? And he's like, I want more. And he's like, sorry, can't hear you. And jumps out of the plane. Like, he's like, hey, don't come out, you know, don't run away from me while I'm talking to you. And then jumps out too. And then, you know, they get back and then Eric, you know, basically does the same thing. But, and then they go to the art museum and then, you know, to see Eric, you know, explain about art and what he likes about it, you know, and certain things. And it was just kind of interesting to see the dynamic flip.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course you get Jack and Sean, like trying to coexist.
Not exactly working, is it?
No.
It's so interesting the dynamic that Alan has with each of his sons. And, you know, like I've already mentioned, one is older, one is younger, one is this, one is that. They're so very that he doesn't have the same relationship with each of them. And like you already said about, you know, Eric's like, you'd rather jump out of a plane than talk to me. Oh, no, I tripped. Yeah, hit the ground running. Like, you know,
I like that Eric is smarter in this episode just because he's, mm-hmm. you know, thinking deeper. I do love the quotes that the Boy Meets World wiki has Sean to Corey. I can't believe you hit your dad. Now, does that mean he has to leave the house in shame? Do you get his woman? And, you know, or Eric, you know, or Eric, I'm volunteering for the witness protection program. Corey, you know, Eric, you didn't witness any crime. I hit my father. I saw the whole thing. And then the last one that's listed there. Hello, Philly General. Have any middle-aged men been admitted this afternoon with basketball injuries? Huh, that many?
Yeah, that was a little weird. That, yeah. No, I love all that. I think that's great. But again, you're The only thing you're not really seeing in these episodes to this halfway point of this season is a lot. You saw some of Amy and Alan, but you're not seeing any of Amy giving any advice to Eric and Corey. The only other time I think Amy was majorly in this half the season is when she went back to school and Eric just got horrified at her romantic writing about her real life. But like, and as much as I love the father-son dynamic, these kids have so many father figures in their life, whether it's their own father, whether it's whatever, whether it's Feeney, I honestly don't think Mr. Turner could have fit in this season. As much as I would have loved to have Mr. Turner still here, as much as I would love to have Mr. Williams still here, have the two of them still here as characters, they basically, characterizational-wise, basically wrote them out to the point of, yeah, Feeney is the only mentor you're going to get outside of your own parents. So, you know, it is what it is. And yeah, like, but I love how, you know, Corey it's basically raging Corey. Like, okay, he didn't intentionally mean to knock his dad. Like, it wasn't like a, I agree with you. I don't like seeing it happen, but I think it had to happen in order for everything else to happen in the episode. 'Cause that's the tipping, that moment of when Corey does it and then Eric does it later. Those are the tipping points of them finally getting to the crux of their relationships with their dad. So, I don't know. I think it's a good way to do a midway point for the season. I think it's an interesting, not that they were doing this back then, because they weren't, but you know, it's like, oh, this is the mid-season finale kind of thing. This kind of feels like a very good mid-season finale, and we will eventually come back with, I believe it's, is it the Eskimo is the next? Yeah, mm-hmm. The Eskimo is episode 13. The Pullbag is GCRN's comic book review and discussion-based podcast. Join me, TFG and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we discuss the comics we are reading right now. Inside The Pullbag, you'll also find the origins of how guests got into or out of reading comics, After Dark discussions, and so much more. You can find The Pullbag every Wednesday, which is New Comic Book Day, only on GeekCastRadio.com and on anywhere you consume your podcasts. Make your greatest game into comics and jump into the pull bag today.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
Yep. Good halfway point.
Yep, absolutely. Was there anything that basically sticks out to you the most? Any moments, any characterizations, any characters you like or dislike so far in season 5 than you already had?
Nothing I really disliked per se. I mean, it's just there was some stuff that just a lot of episodes I just didn't care for, and it gets a little bit more dicey as the second half of the season comes as far as character dynamics. But, I'll wait until that.
Yeah, those character dynamics. Oh, boy.
Yeah, especially the second half of this season.
Yep. They are definitely going to be changing up a lot of stuff. And it's very interesting to see where things are going. So, folks, as I mentioned this, or maybe I didn't mention it, this is 2023. I know I mentioned that it's the 30th anniversary, but it is the 30th anniversary. Steve and I are going to be trying our best to finish out Podcaster Meets World this year, which does include Girl Meets World, but I know we'll at least get Boy Meets World done. And yeah, next time is part two, where we cover episodes 13 to 24 of season 5. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can follow us on Twitter @geekcastradio for the show. I am @TF2. And Mike, what is your Twitter?
@SCP21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradio network. As I mentioned, next time is Season 5, Part 2, Episodes 13 to 24. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with...
Steve Megatron.
Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in next time here on Podcaster Meets World.
Today's forecast is chilly in Philly as the record-breaking cold snap continues.
Okay, what do you got?
I got 4 can't-miss ways on how to get Super Bowl tickets.
Okay, give me the best one.
I go back in time to the first Super Bowl when tickets weren't that hard to get.
Good. Good. Very good. I don't need to hear the other 3.
If you're gonna go back in time, you could do the original assignment and we wouldn't be in this mess. La 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 la.
Topanga, butting in musical form is still butting in.
Oh, ask Topanga. That was my next idea. We get advice from Topanga.
If I give advice, I get an F.
Oh, you can afford one stinking F in your life.
No, I can't. I've worked very hard to be perfect up till now.
I'm throwing up all over you.
Okay, are you ready to win some Super Bowl tickets?
Okay, if I was a pair of Super Bowl tickets, how would I find you?
It's an interesting question, Sean. Another interesting question. Why would Feeny make such an impossible assignment?
We've got the last pair of Super Bowl tickets available in the known universe. And we're down to 10 more chances to win them. So call me now.
Topanga, will you turn down the radio? We're trying to think here.